Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is For the Record program number 668, titled Sedition. This is being recorded on April 5th of the year 2009. Before I get into the broadcast itself, please use the website. 2 weeks ago, I finished converting all of the old files from the old web format to the new web format. Now I've got a huge, huge, much more user-friendly website with all kinds of printed information, including a mini library of old, long out-of-print anti-fascist books, and everything I've done, all of my old archive shows, the AFA shows, formerly RFA, the miscellaneous archive shows, the Guns of November about the assassination of President Kennedy, the lectures, as well as all the For the Record shows and vast numbers of program descriptions, a world of information is now available at spitfirelist.com. Please use it. It's basically my entire life's work, plus a lot of other stuff, some other people's entire lives' work, and it's all available for download for free. The only investment you need to make is one of time. And let me tell you, things are getting late in, it is very late in the day, things are proceeding in a very interesting fashion. Lewis and Carroll fashion in one light and Hitler Mussolini fashion in another, or fashion with an F-A-S-C-I-O-N spelling. The title Sedition alludes to movements which are basically in their essence treason, although many of these in the spirit of a book called The Patriotic Traitors by a guy named David Littlejohn about various fascists in various countries other than Japan, Italy, and Germany that betrayed their countries in the name of patriotism. And there's a lot of that going on now. And what we're going to be talking about in this program concerns calls for outright secession from the United States and or rebellion. And some of these calls are coming from fringe media people or maybe not so fringe media people. Some of them are calling from relatively mainstream figures such as martial artist and a movie star Chuck Norris. Also, Republican members of Congress have been making similar calls for revolution slash secession or it's basically treason or sedition. This should be evaluated against the background of programs like For the Record 652, Palin by Comparison. Sarah Palin, who was running for vice president on the Republican ticket, of course, under John McCain, is basically a cat's paw for something called the Alaskan Independence Party, which not only aims to have Alaska secede from the Union, but which in turn is very much connected to various Aryan nations slash Nazi groups, as well as neo-Confederates who are aiming to have the South secede again. And predictably, many of these American nativist slash fascist and secessionist groups are connected, if only on the web, only by internet links, to the UNPO, headed up by Karl von Habsburg, married to Francesca Thyssen-Bornemisza, who champions similar, quote, liberation movements, unquote, in which various peoples, primarily in the Third World or of Third World extraction, are having their independence championed by the old ruling heads of Europe. And I think the end result of what some of these people are working for will be nothing less than the breakup and subsequent de facto colonization or recolonization of what's left of the United States. In this case, it'll be a bunch of Balkanized and probably impoverished little countries, which will, in time, be subsumed into a larger corporate entity and reabsorbed into some of the European dynasties, as the Habsburgs, of course, to which the Habsburgs are the heirs. One of the people who has been issuing this call for revolution slash secession slash sedition is, again, martial artist and radio television and movie star Chuck Norris. The following is from WorldNet Daily. That's a conservative internet site. And this, in turn, is a follow-up to an appearance that Chuck Norris had on the radio show of a guy named Glenn Beck, who appears to be one of the ripest pieces of fruit on the ripe orchard of Fox News. Fox News. He's on Fox, but he also does radio work as well. This is from, the WorldNet Daily of March 9th of 2009. It's called, "I May Run for President of Texas." And Chuck Norris writes, "On Glenn Beck's radio show last week, I quipped in response to our wayward federal government, 'I may run for president of Texas,'" unquote. "That need may be a reality sooner than we think. If not me, someone someday may again be running for president of the Lone Star State if the State of the Union continues to turn into the enemy of the state. From the East Coast to the Left Coast, America seems to be moving further and further from its founders' vision and government." Skipping down, "When I appeared on Glenn Beck's radio show, he told me that someone had asked him, 'Do you really believe that there's going to be trouble in the future?' And he answered, 'If this country starts to spiral out of control and Mexico melts down or whatever, if it really starts to spiral out of control before America allows a country to become a totalitarian country,'" skipping down, "'Americans won't stand for it. There will be parts of the country that will rise up,'" unquote. Then Glenn asked me and his listening audience, "And where is that going to come from?" unquote. He answered his own question, "Texas. It's going to come from Texas. Do you agree with that, Chuck?" I replied, "Oh, yeah, definitely." It was these types of thoughts that led me to utter the tongue-in-cheek frustration on Glenn Beck's radio show, "I May Run for President of Texas." Now, I'm not saying that other states won't muster the gumption to stand up and stand and secede, but Texas has the history to prove it. As most know, Texas was its own country before it joined the Union as its 28th state. From 1836 to 1846, Texas was its own republic. Washington on the Brazos served as our Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It was there on March 2, 1836, where a band of patriots forged the Texas Declaration of Independence. And skipping down, "For those losing hope and others wanting to rekindle the patriotic fires of early America, I encourage you to join Fox News' Glenn Beck, me, and millions of people across the country in the live telecast, 'We Surround Them,'" unquote, on Friday afternoon, March 13th. Thousands of cell groups will be united around the country in solidarity over the concerns of our nation. You can host or attend a viewing party by going to Glenn's website. My wife, Gina, and I will be hosting one from our Texas ranch in which we've invited many family members, friends, and law enforcement to join us. It's our way of saying, we're united, we're tired of the corruption, and we're not going to take it anymore, unquote. Well, there are aspects of the general spirit there that I would agree with. It's basically trying to resist the tide of the destruction of America is what I've been working toward, working on for the last 30 years or so. Of course, Texas is the state in which President Kennedy was assassinated, and that was a fascist coup d'etat. I would also note that I suspect that some of this, not all of it necessarily, maybe not even most of it, but a nice chunk of this is between the lines, the fact that we now have an African-American as president of the United States, plus Barack Obama is inheriting the legacy of a bankrupt America. The Bush family, as I have stated many times in their many broadcasts dealing with this, are, in my considered opinion, a cat's paw within the United States, a fifth column for an underground Reich, literally a Third Reich gone underground and perpetuated using the consummate economic power that they derive not only from the world wars but from the international cartel system, which was forged and formalized at the end of the First World War. The Bush family were inextricably linked with the Thiessen Industrial Empire, and DeFrancesca Thiessen Bornemisza is, of course, the wife of Karl von Habsburg, head of the UNPO that's looking to break up larger countries such as the United States and Russia and China. And ultimately, they will become subservient to those broken-up larger countries will become subservient to an underground Reich and a resurgent European monarchical regime, so to speak. The Thiessen Empire is one of the main focal points, one of the main epicenters, I should say, of the underground Reich and the Bormann Capital Network. And the Bush 2 administration, in my considered opinion, basically was in charge with destroying the United States. And they did a pretty good job. The United States economy is now a basket case. There are many things, I think, have yet to be determined. I have puzzled over where the derivatives and a lot of these various financial instruments, who thought them up and how. And I still don't have the answer, but I tell you, whoever thought of it either deliberately intended to ruin the country and much of the rest of the world as well, and I suspect that was the case, or basically that they had their head stuck so far up their rear end that they couldn't tell a dirt road from a chicken with lips. But as far as I can tell, I don't understand a lot of those derivatives and some of these things. And it looks to me like the emperor's new finance, frankly, and I suspect that a lot of the people who engaged in this sort of activity didn't understand them as well. But with September 11th used to becloud people's minds, and the evidence of complicity on the part of the Bush administration with the Muslim Brotherhood and underground Reich executioners of that plot is overwhelming. The United States was basically beggared under George Bush. I think that's what, although Bush himself, I think, is nothing but a figurehead, that's what his administration was charged with doing. And I think, in retrospect, as far as the Bush administration and ruining America goes, mission accomplished. They did it. And now we've got the likes of Chuck Norris or Sarah Palin and her Alaskan Independence Party working with the UNPO to further the destruction and then perhaps pick up the pieces or however many pieces are left. The sort of call that Chuck Norris engaged in is by no means limited to showbiz people. By the way, before leaving Chuck Norris, note his use of the term cells. One of the tactics of sort of populist slash fascist groups and white supremacist groups in this country is the concept of leaderless resistance. And that comes from former David Duke Klan assistant Don Black. And he is the fellow who runs the Stormfront website, and we'll talk about that later in the broadcast. But the idea of leaderless resistance is to put together a fascist slash white supremacist populist movement to effect armed resistance, but however, doing so in small cells to make infiltration by opponents, including and especially government slash law enforcement opponents, difficult to impossible. In addition to the sorts of calls that are being issued by Chuck Norris, a Minnesota congresswoman named Michelle Bachmann also has been issuing these sorts of calls for revolution slash sedition slash secession. This also on Fox. This particular call came on, this particular call to revolution, unquote, came on Sean Hannity's radio show. And this particular web posting, and the full URL will be in the description for this program, comes from, is by Eric Clayfold. It's from Talking Points Memo website of March 27th, 2009. And Bachmann blasts Obama's economic Marxism and calls for orderly revolution, unquote, to save freedom. And Eric Clayfeld writes, wow, just plain wow. This past Wednesday, Representative Michelle Bachmann, Republican of Minnesota, appeared on Sean Hannity's radio show and sharply reiterated her calls for revolution in America, warning against the imminent dangers of tyranny under Barack Obama. We are headed down the lane of economic Marxism, unquote, said Bachmann. More quickly, Sean, than anyone could have possibly imagined. It's difficult for us to even keep up with it day to day, unquote. Yeah, no doubt, that's Marxism, all right, Marxism from people like Citigroup and people like Lawrence Summers and Robert Rubin and others. The left has been criticizing Barack Obama for being too cozy with Wall Street, and elements like Bachmann are talking about Marxism. Problem with, well, one of the many problems with people like Michelle Bachmann, she would know a real Marxist if one came up and bit her on a Republican behind. But I certainly would not. I think Obama's doing a pretty good job, considering that his job is, his task is impossible. There are a number of things he's done with which I disagree very strongly, but I would not want to be in his shoes. But he's got the left accusing him of being a tool of Wall Street, and the right calling him a Marxist. And sooner or later, it's going to come out of being a tool of the Jews. Watch that one. Reminds me of one of the last scenes in the movie Cabaret, where in the rooming house that the Michael York character is staying, fellow's reading the Völkischer Beobachter, the official Nazi party paper, and his wife says, I don't understand. How can the Jews be both communists and bankers at the same time? And he says, simple. If they don't get us one way, they'll get us the other. unquote. No doubt. And continuing with the analysis here, resuming a little bit with what we were just talking about, we are headed down the lane of economic Marxism, said Bachmann, more quickly, Sean, than anyone could have possibly imagined. It's difficult for us to even keep up with it day to day, unquote. And then came this. At this point, the American people, it's like Thomas Jefferson said, a revolution every now and then is a good thing. We are at the point, Sean, of revolution, and by that, what I mean an orderly revolution where the people of this country wake up, get up, and make a decision this is not going to happen on their watch. It won't be our children and grandchildren that are in debt. It is we who are in debt. We who will be bankrupting this country inside of 10 years if we don't get a grip. And we can't let the Democrats achieve their ends any longer. Quote, if Tim Geithner is successful under President Obama and they move us to an international currency, unquote, Bachmann warned. Parenthetically, they made no such attempt to do that. But, you know, again, Michelle Bachmann is not exactly the most sophisticated of analysts. Beginning again, if Tim Geithner is successful under President Obama and they move us to an international currency, Bachmann warned, then we have no hope of standing on our own as a sovereign nation with our own economic system. It's over. We can't do that, unquote. Bachmann also declared, economics works equally in any country. Where freedom is tried, the people rejoice, but where tyranny is enforced upon the people, as Barack Obama is doing, the people suffer and mourn. And there was this exchange. Bachmann, right now I'm a member of Congress, and I believe that my job here is to be a foreign correspondent reporting from enemy lines. And people need to understand this isn't a game. This isn't just a political talk show that's happening right now. This is our very freedom, and we have 230 years, a continuous link of freedom that every generation has ceded to the next generation. This may be the time when that link breaks, and I'm going to do everything I can, I know you are, to make sure that we keep that link secure. We cannot allow that link to break because, as Reagan said, America is the last great hope of mankind. Where do we go? Interrupting here briefly, of course, the United States was the world's greatest creditor nation from the end of World War I right on up to the end of Jimmy Carter's term. But Ronald Reagan promptly tripled the national debt in 8 years. And by the time George H.W. Bush was finished office, it was almost five times as high. It was George H.W. Bush who chaired the Vice President's Task Force on Financial Regulation that paved the way for the savings and loan collapse and ripoff, something that the Stanford Law Review the bill for which the Stanford Law Review at roughly $1.4 trillion. It's really interesting and grotesque to watch people like Michelle Bachmann and the other Republicans, who are basically the ones who executed this thing by rolling back the regulatory provisions of the New Deal. There were some Democrats involved as well, but this is basically a Republican show, watching her complaining about what she has already helped to do. And Hannity then goes on to say, the last great hope of man on this earth, and they go on in this vein, and Hannity says, it's not, you are not overstating this case, Congresswoman, and you don't need to apologize for it, and as a matter of fact, it's refreshing, and I can tell you all around this country, on 535 of the best radio stations in this country, people are saying, amen, hallelujah, where have you been? Well, I think where she has been is sticking her head about as far up her expletive deleted as she possibly could, and it's one of the reasons why people can make these sorts of claims. And certainly, there is going to be a financial reckoning in the future, but that was all but assured when George Bush undertook to wreck the train, which he most assuredly did. You notice you didn't hear Michelle Bachmann or Chuck Norris or any of these people complaining about what George W. Bush did, and he basically engineered this entire situation. And Barack Obama's attempted to do what he can to pick up the pieces. We're in uncharted territory. Paul Krugman of the New York Times thinks that some of the federal bailout programs should be even more vigorous and that not enough is going to be done, although he takes serious issue, as does Joseph Stiglitz, with the attempt at purchasing the toxic assets. We're in uncharted territory, folks. I would not pass the point attempt to evaluate this, but what I can tell you is what I warned you about in, for the record, 412 or 413. I think it was 413. The engineer intends to wreck the train. Maybe it was 412, but it was done in June of 2003, and by God, in For the Record program 651, I noted that, yep, the engineer has wrecked the train. Chuck Norris's call for sedition, or Michelle Bachmann, Republican Congresswoman from Minnesota's call for, quote, revolution, unquote, has been echoed by, among other institutions, the Council of Conservative Citizens. Now, this is an openly white supremacist group which has strong links to Republican members of Congress. Former Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott was affiliated with this group, and they have basically echoed this call, and the URL for their website supporting Chuck Norris in this will be available in the description for the record program number 668. I want to note that there is, generally speaking, a sort of a nutty sort of populist movement that is playing into this. One of the interesting things about the coming of fascism here, the overt grassroots fascism in the United States, is that many of the people who are actually spear carriers and banner carriers for fascism are representing themselves as anti-fascist. One of the groups that has been quite successful in this regard are elements of the tax protest movement, such as the Posse Comitatus and related institutions. They're part of the Aryan Nations milieu, and their contention is that you don't have to pay taxes and that it is unconstitutional to do so, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, taking a look at how that's going to play into the current economic landscape, if they enjoy any measure of success, that's just going to bankrupt the country that much faster and get the job done that much faster. Among the sort of grassroots populist fascist milieu, I would note that the September 11th, quote, truth movement, unquote, the ultimate oxymoron, has, to a large extent, it evolved into a fascist movement. And by that, I'm not talking about the serious researchers, the John Loftuses, the Rita Katzes, people like Daniel Hopsicker, people like Stephen Emerson, people like yours truly. But the people are talking about the controlled demolition of the World Trade Center, the cruise missile hit the Pentagon, and usually that gets spun around. It was the Jews, yeah? And one of the people that is front and center in that nefarious milieu is a guy named Alex Jones. Now, just like Chuck Norris, Alex Jones hails from the Lone Star State, Baja, Oklahoma. And he's been very active on behalf of the, you know, the 911 truth movement, the whole control demolition, cruise missile hit the Pentagon hocus pocus, and achieved quite a bit of success. And he has had Chuck Norris on his show echoing these kinds of calls. And one of the things that I want to note is that some of the 911 truthers have also hooked up with elements of the tax protest slash fascist, sort of populist fascist movement. There was a group that was recently arrested in Nevada, and I'm going to have the full URL. We're running low on time here, so that I'm not going to get a chance to go into this to the extent that I'd like. But they call themselves the Lawmen, and their contention is that they are the true law, and they cite something called British Admiralty law, and they go on from there. They contend that the world is being run by a global Jewish cabal working for Satan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Watch out for a lot of these tax protest groups and the sovereign movement. Two of the movements that, two of the videos that the sovereign movement, again, basically a populist fascist movement, have been circulating. One is called Zeitgeist and another is called Freedom to Fascism. Both are basically fascist movies. Some of the information in them is accurate, but sooner or later it gets spun to, you know, so choose, yeah, and we don't have to pay taxes. Zeitgeist figures, among others, national executives of the John Birch Society, Anthony Hilder, who crops up in connection with the investigation of the assassination of Robert Kennedy. And this is all fairly well hooked into the 911 truth movement. And one might say they've also made quite a bit of they've enjoyed quite a bit of success in penetrating so-called progressive media voices as well. Not only elements of the nutty 911 truth stuff, but related elements have been turning up on Pacifica Radio, Natch, and so people should be careful of this. It would be funny, perhaps, if it were not for the fact that the long-term implications of this are very serious indeed. But there's some very unfunny things going on. A lot of people under the enormous social dislocation of the economic devastation that is overtaking this country. Thanks, George Bush. A lot of people are going off the rails, and there have been a lot of people, quote, going postal, unquote, and just blazing away at complete strangers. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette talked about Richard Poplawski's recent escapade in which he gunned down three Pittsburgh policemen. This is from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette of Sunday, today, April 5th of 2009, and skipping down into the political views of Richard Andrew Poplawski. Mr. Poplawski's view of guns and personal freedom took a turn toward the fringes of American politics. With Mr. Perkovich, he appeared to share a belief that the government was controlled by unseen forces, that troops were being shipped home from the Mideast to police the citizenry here, and that, you guessed it, Jews secretly ran the country. Quote, "We recently discovered that 30 states had declared sovereignty," said Mr. Perkovich, who lives in Lawrenceville. One of his concerns was why were these major events in America not being reported to the public? Believing most media were covering up important events, Mr. Poplawski turned to a far-right conspiracy website run by Alex Jones, a self-described documentarian with roots going back to the extremist militia movement of the early 1990s. Around the same time, he joined Florida-based Stormfront, which has long been a clearinghouse website for far-right groups. That's run, by the way, by the aforementioned Don Black. He posted photographs of his tattoo and eagle spread across his chest. "I was considering getting life runes on the outside of my calves," he wrote. Life runes are a common symbol among white supremacists, notably followers of the National Alliance, a neo-Nazi group linked to an array of violent organizations. And by the way, Robert Whitaker, an associate of the National Alliance, helped to vet the security clearances for Ronald Reagan's administrations. And continuing and concluding this article, "For some time now, there has been a pretty good connection between being sucked into this conspiracy world and propagating violence," unquote, said Heidi Byrick, director of research at the Southern Poverty Law Center and an expert on political extremists. She called Mr. Poplawski's act, quote, "a classic example of what happens when you start buying all this conspiracy stuff," unquote. Well, that last little bit, courtesy of Heidi Byrick, just really sort of tops the taco here. One of the reasons I hate the term conspiracy theorist and refer to myself as an anti-fascist researcher is that elements like the Southern Poverty Law Center, who've done some very good work, unfortunately lump serious research in with the Alex Joneses and their ilk. And the end result is that people who are aware of the fact that, yes, the major media do cover up events, and yes, there are very important things of which people are not informed, then basically they simply wind up being spear carriers for the status quo. And in case you hadn't noticed it, the status quo just ain't working. In conclusion, please use the website. One of the things you can do on that website is to download those old anti-fascist books, such as All Honorable Men, and you can read about how our current sorry state of affairs was being prepared decades ago, even before the conclusion of World War II. And again, one cannot understand fascism, one cannot understand the present without understanding the past. And the concept of the corporate state, its execution through the decades before, during, and after World War II, is a key to that understanding. However, that is all we have time for. So again, the various URLs for these articles will be in the description for the record 668. This concludes For the Record 668, Sedition, being recorded on April 5th of 2009. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.